Okay. I read a story many years ago. A specialist tutor had been arranged for a child who had considerable health issues. And they got on very well, and the child began to make real progress. And then one day, the tutor, who was a Christian, felt it was right to talk about the Lord. And so the tutor said to the child, "I think it's time I told you about God." And quick as a flash, the child replied, "That's amazing, because I've been thinking about him all week." Now, my question really is, why? Why would that be so? Why is it that the very moment the tutor raised the topic of God, that the child could respond like that? The child had already been thinking about God. And the answer is, the answer of the Bible, and particularly the answer of the text, the Son of Man, the judge of all the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man came to seek and to save. It's wonderful that he saves, but the amazing thing is that he does the seeking, and so he works both ends, if you like. You had the tutor going to talk about the Lord, but actually God had already been working on the child, preparing the child to hear about God. You hear the people say things like this, "Oh, Glyn comes to church, oh, he's lovely. He's not a Christian, but he's seeking." You hear people say that. And I think I know what they mean. But the Bible is clear, actually, not only is nobody good, no one righteous, but nobody seeks God. So hang on. Here's Glyn. Oh, he's lovely. He's not a Christian, but he's seeking. What is Glyn seeking? He's not seeking God, but he's seeking the benefits of God. He doesn't want to go to hell, or he wants to find out a bit more about something, but he wants to be friendly with everybody else, and he feels, "Oh, I'm different from the church. Don't treat me as a Christian," or whatever. He's seeking benefits of God, but he's not seeking God. But the wonderful thing is, even though we are spiritually not just rebels, we are dead to God, the wonderful thing is he does the seeking. We're unwilling and unable to respond to God. We can't. But he does the seeking. That's why I love this text. The Son of Man came to seek and to save. In other words, he does all the hard work. He does the hard yards. He does all the hard work. He does the relentless graft of tracking down people like you and me. Peter Jeffrey died a few weeks ago, one of the best preachers I've ever heard. And I remember as a young Christian listening on cassette tape. Remember cassette tape? In the car, somebody had given me one of his sermons and said, "Listen to this." And in this sermon, which was on Ezekiel actually, but in this sermon, at some point, he says this to the congregation. It was a massive congregation, about 1,000. And he was saying to them, "God's after some of you tonight, and he'll have you." And you know, I was so moved, I had to stop the car. I had to pull in on the hard shoulder on the M4. Because I just thought, yeah, because there was a night when that was me, you see. Where God was after me, and he was hunting me down, and he did have me. He did get me. You know the story of Genesis 3, Adam and Eve. They disobey the Lord. They're soon in big trouble, deep bother. But then, and they feel naked, they feel guilty. They try to hide. And wonderfully in Genesis 3, it's God who comes looking. It's God who says, "Adam, where are you?" You notice it's not God hiding. It's God who comes seeking. It's Adam. People like us who go on the run and try to hide. You know, that time about 20 years ago when I was just giving some tracts out in a high street in Morriston on a Saturday afternoon, and this, you know, I'd given out loads of tracts. Some people said yes, some people said no. Some people scrumpled them up and threw them on the floor, okay? But I came to this middle-aged guy, and he just said, what's the theme, mate? And I said, "Just asking the question, what's the point of life?" And he stopped, he bowed his head, he put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, "Oh, mate, I've been asking myself all day." Well, why? Why had he been asking himself all day? Because God was after him. God was working. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So one morning, Zacchaeus in Jericho feels the need to see who Jesus is. Why? Actually, all the time it had been Jesus doing the seeking. When Zacchaeus first sees Jesus, Jesus doesn't say, "Hey, Zacchaeus," I'm awful glad you've been looking for me, because it's the other way around. Jesus has been looking for Zacchaeus. It's Christ who's done the searching, Christ who's done the seeking, and it's Christ who says, Zacchaeus, you come down now. And if you're a Christian, that's why, because the Lord Jesus Christ sought you. I remember in my last year at junior school, the teenage singing sensation at the time was Helen Shapiro, and she was a Jewess. And many, many years later, a musical director, I think, who was arranging some song for her, who was a Christian, shared the gospel. And she really heard it. She heard it. And she understood it. And she dismissed it. But she said later, you know, for the next few months, I was tripping over Christians wherever I went. I couldn't get away from them. Well, why? Because God was seeking her, you see. So he could save her, and save her wonderfully in her middle age, he did. You know, we went to a house once, Anne and I, and it doesn't matter, it's a long story, went to this house, I rang the doorbell, the lady came to the door, and I'd never spoken to her in my life. And the first thing she said was, let's not beat around the bush, God's brought you here. She was right. See, God was after her as well. You know, if you're a Christian, I know many of you say you are, you know, do you love the text like this? That the Lord sought you? I remember when I was a little, very little kid, local authority had bought this farmland and they were building houses here and everywhere. No streets, because hardly anybody had cars, I suppose, just houses. And JCBs everywhere, you know, because they were building houses. And of course, when the workmen went home, we'd play with these machines, you know, we'd climb up on top of them. And one boy, Graham, he was about 13, he slipped. I mean, they're dangerous machines. He was killed. Why wasn't it me? Boy in my class, bought a motorbike at 16, crashed, killed. Why wasn't it me? Girl in the next street ran out behind the ice cream van, killed by a bus. I'd done it loads of times. Why wasn't it me? And you could tell similar stories, couldn't you? We could all tell similar stories of people who died much younger than we are. Why wasn't it you? Dr. Paul Brand became world-famous leprosy surgeon in India. And there was a man called Sadden. And Sadden said he wasn't interested in his Christianity. He'd heard about Paul Brand and his Christianity. He didn't want anything to do with that. But one day, he was looking in the mirror and he saw a spot on his nose and he had a pretty good idea what that was. And now he ran to see Paul Brandt. And the doctor did medically what he could. But later, Sadden said this, I thank God for the leprosy, because but for that, I'd never have gone to see Dr. Brandt. And if I'd never gone to see Dr. Brandt, I'd never have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, my Savior. See, the Lord was seeking him, and that was the only way to get him, was to give him leprosy. You know, why are you alive this morning? Why are you in this building this morning? Some of you know there was a moment when the Savior, you realized he was coming for you. You realized he'd been after you. Son of Man came to seek and to save. It's a wonderful truth. Does it bless your soul? You know, some of you still don't seem to have seen that. That Jesus loves you, that he's calling to you, that he's after you, that he's been looking for you for years. You know, some of you know the story when I became a Christian in the August, went back to school as a teacher, and there was an admin officer, just part-time employed for about 6 weeks or so, and she was a Christian. She was a parent of a pupil I had ridiculed for years. And she heard the news, after a few days, she heard the news of my conversion. And then, you know, God had already put her in the school, you see. See, they already arranged that she would work there for 6 weeks. And so she could come up and just tell me that she'd been praying for me for years. Well, why was she praying for me, man? That's the first question I asked her. Why? Why were you praying for me? All these teachers, 80-odd teachers, why did you pick on me? Because the Son of Man was seeking me. It's amazing, man. You know, some of you have the immense privilege you brought up in a Christian home. You heard the gospel hundreds of times. Why? Why you? When next door there was somebody who didn't have that privilege. And then one or two of you, perhaps you're the only Christians in your family. Nobody else is interested. Nobody else cares. Why you? You know, I know a man. I saw him the other day, actually. It was a Saturday afternoon, minding his own business in Cardiff, and somebody was standing there just giving out Christian tracts like that. And he took a tract, like in common with probably hundreds of other people who'd had tracts that day. But he went home, he sat down, and for some reason, he started to read it. He was saved. Why did he walk past the man giving him out? Why did he take it? Why did he go home and read it? Because God was seeking him. You know, that camp we were on years ago on a Thursday morning, where there's this one guy, and he breaks with all his mates who are sitting at the back messing about, and he comes to the front. He wants to listen that day. Why? Why does he want to? Why don't his friends want to listen? Why does he make the effort? And all the ridicule and the mocking as he walks four or five rows forward to sit on his own. Because the Son of Man is seeking him. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. 16 centuries ago, young playboy Augustine, with a godly mother, Monica, praying for him all the time. He's not interested. He tricks her and he flees North Africa and goes to Italy. He ends up in Milan. Eventually, he has a preacher called Ambrose. And later, he writes this. Lord, I thank you. You led me all the way from Africa to Ambrose in Milan, so that Ambrose could lead me all the way to you. That's it. That's it. What about you this morning? The privilege you've all had of hearing the gospel, you're in it again today. Have you seen your need though? Not, you don't need to become more religious. You don't need to just attend more regularly. I heard a very well-known religious leader on the radio this week. Summer's gone, autumn's arrived, reminds us the never-ending cycle. Well, it got my attention straight away. I wasn't aware it was a cycle, life. Then this person went on, yes, we die, but we live on in the minds of our friends and relatives. What a load of deadly drivel that is. That's psychobabble, isn't it? Sentimental slush. That, hang on, I've been to some funerals where there's five people there. Not living on much here then. This person's in the memory of five people and perhaps four of them and neighbours who only come because out of some kind of duty. There was a comedy show recently and a person stood up and said, you'd never hear this in The Lion King. You know The Lion King? You'd never hear this. We'll talk about the circle of life. You'd never hear this. Kids, it's not true. Life is a very short line with an abrupt end. And I thought, well, I don't know who this comedian is, but they got it right. It's not a circle, is it? It's not a cycle. Look at us. We're all aging. People much younger than all of us have died. You know, when I first came here, I used to think, how will I cope when somebody in the congregation dies? I dreaded it. I still dread it. I hate funerals, I do. A week last Monday, I was sitting in the house in the morning. I had a funeral to do at 12:30. I was praying the same things I pray before every funeral. Lord, isn't there somebody else who could do it? I don't want to do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. Please, could you find somebody else to do it? Every time I dread it, especially when I know the deceased person sat and heard and it was never apparent that they did anything about it. Never saw the beautiful reality of this verse, that the Son of Man came to seek them and to save them. You know, when I became a Christian, I wrote to one of my mates. I didn't have the guts to face him, telling him what had happened to me. And he wrote back a very long and brilliantly argued letter why he'd never believe. I never imagined that sort of 12 or 13 years after that, I'd preach at his funeral. 52 he was. Will I have to preach at your funeral? And will I especially dread it because it was never obvious where you stood? Some of you have been snubbing him for years. Years. He won't strive with you forever. He won't. Today's the day. Amen. Or can you sing this? My heart is filled with thankfulness.